This is The Vocal Minority.
Hello, champions. This is Donald John Trump. Just getting ready for the big show and having my diaper changed. I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to invite you to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. All legal scholars agree this is the most beautiful, fantastic show you'll find. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Not made in China.
The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
We are, however, tariffing the crap out of this podcast.
Okay.
Welcome to it. We just put a 90-day pause on it, though, so you're fine for now. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it once again, ladies and gents.
Yeah, it's about time that tubby motherfucker lied about something worthwhile, like listening to this show. So thank you.
Oh, you don't think he actually listens? Is that what you're saying?
Is he a masochist? I know he's a narcissist and a sociopath. Is he a masochist, though? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, you're right. It matters not. We wouldn't change the program whether he was listening or not. So we do the program for you, for the resistance, and we're glad you're here. Check out our social media if you're interested.
Yeah. Listen, I'm hoping we end up in Guantanamo. I think that would be some free publicity that we could really use. So I will poke the bear all day, all night.
You don't care if you go to Guantanamo. Don't include me in that, dude. I don't want to go to Guantanamo.
Well, it'd be ideal if you stayed behind. Someone's got to know where I'm at and help me out. So,
okay.
But in the meantime, I'll do a couple of weeks ice torture if it gets us all over the news. Sure.
All right. Well, anything indeed, for your craft.
Exactly. But yeah, in the meantime, find the social medias. We got them. YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, Blue Sky, some versions of Facebook out there. And I don't know. I think that's it.
Well, way to hype them up. Go check them out all now and see our webpage, thevocalminority.net. We have a comment line. You can comment at 844-48-VOCAL. We've got a ton of good stuff to get to today. I don't know if good stuff's the right word. This is killing me, dude. It's literally killing my soul.
It's job security. That's really how I've come to look at it. That whenever I see Trump now or I see a yard sign still, like, I've got this conservative douchebag across the street from me who's got a farm. There's cows out my window now, which I like, but his farmhouse is from like the 1700s and it's got Trump signs everywhere. And I think it's so freaking hilarious that he has no idea. I'm 100 yards this way doing liberal content for planet Earth. And
we're the resistance, right?
That's right. So it's good job security. I started thinking last night, what the hell are we going to do in 3.5 years when a Democrat wins? Are we out of a job?
No, we're going to talk about good shit and what the comparison contrast looks like and how our country is back on track, I would assume.
Yeah. We'll switch from offense to defense, right? Instead of attacking the president, we'll be defending the president. So
yes, that'll exactly work. Right. So
yeah. In the meantime, this is mentally exhausting. You're right.
Yes, thank you for acknowledging that, and let's get into it without further ado.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
Steve Harness, he's our man. If you can't do it, no one can. A little cheerleading for you today, good friend.
There's a chance no one can do it, because I don't know if I can do it. So let's see how that all goes. But okay. All right, listen, a major story happened a couple of days ago, and I don't feel it's really getting enough publicity around planet Earth. Certainly some people have been talking about it, but this whole thing of a judge getting arrested in America, and
thank you for saying this, dude, because I thought the exact same thing. I said it to my wife this morning. Why is no one talking about this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I know we have been. There's a small update to the story, and then let's start to dissect a little. Representative Clay Higgins calls for the arrest of more judges, and not just a judge or two. Rep Higgins out of Louisiana called for the arrest of, quote, 100 more judges.
100.
Yeah, why stop at 10 or 12? He called for that on social media, of course, which is apparently where all business gets done now. Days after authorities arrested a Wisconsin judge saying she helped an undocumented immigrant avoid immigration agents. Higgins said, quote, arrogant elitist black robes have been raping our core principles for decades. If the DOJ needs a list, then I have it.
Wow. Yeah. Please continue. That's interesting to me. I'd love to know some examples of that.
Yeah. So, his words echo comments made by Attorney General Pam Bondi after this whole arrest. She said, quote, if you're harboring a fugitive, we don't care who you are. If you are helping hide one, if you are giving a gang member guns, anyone who is illegally in this country, we will come for you. We will prosecute you. We will find you.
It is. It's like a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
It is. And a couple of thoughts about this. So first of all, I was just reading online a thing about Judge Napolitano. You remember him? He was on Fox News for a while.
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd recognize him. He was a New York City judge, and he became a Fox News like correspondent, talking head. And he was always a big Trumper, but I think he's on Newsmax now. And he did an interview over the weekend that has ruffled some feathers, where he said that this is not correct. We should not be arresting judges. And especially because apparently these ICE agents had what is called an administrative warrant and not any sort of judicial warrant. In other words, ICE gave ICE permission to go arrest this guy. Apparently, they confronted this judge in the hallway. She said, that's not a real warrant. Like, you're in my courthouse now. Like, you're not just taking this guy out of here. Show me an arrest warrant, and maybe we'll have the talk after I'm done with him. And then she got hauled away in handcuffs for helping this guy to escape, you know. And then it's also a tad ironic that Pam Bondi would be talking about people that think they're above the law and that could, destroy evidence and obstruct justice and all these things with no awareness of who she works for, apparently.
Yes. I mean, it really is funny that she says, like, no one's above the law. But she should just come out and say it. Like, there are very few people that are above the law. You know, the Supreme Court decided Donald Trump is one of them. So, you know, we can let him get away with this shit, but no one else.
Yeah, exactly. I do think this is the beginning of the slippery slope. I don't think they're just going to arrest this one judge and call it good. I know it. He is challenging the judicial branch head on, already currently ignoring the Supreme Court. And now they think they're going to use their FBI and DOJ to run around arresting judges in an attempt, I guess, to bully them into bending to their will. This is exactly what democracy is not supposed to be.
Completely. I mean, this is, I don't even know if this is the beginning of the end, but this is... Now that this has happened, like you said, I too agree with you that, you know, there will be more judges. They're going to make examples out of these judges. And if we don't stand up now and, I mean, completely riot, revolt against this, this is insanity, dude, that this could happen. If we don't stand up now and we continue to watch like there are fireworks in the sky going off and we're just in amazement that they're happening, it's going to be too late. It is. Yeah. It's going to be too late.
Absolutely. I mean, the question really is, what can we do, the vocal minority out there? Now, I want to say that protesting is certainly a worthwhile effort. But two things. One, there's three equal branches, right? So the administrative, the executive with Trump. I mean, obviously that one's gone off the deep end. So then we have the legislative and the judicial. And I think both of them need to grow a spine. The legislative branch needs to understand half of you going to lose your jobs next year in the midterm elections. And these people are all about self-preservation. Right now, they don't have anything to fear because they're riding high on the election win. But reality needs to catch up, and protesting would be a big part of that. But also the judicial branch. You people, the men and women in robes, you have got to put your foot down and say enough of this shit. Like, this has to get overturned. Judges have to unify. And that includes all the way up to the Supreme Court, because they'll come for you next.
That's exactly right, Steve. I was going to say, we've seen rumblings of Amy Comey Barrett's, saying, like, this isn't right. You know, we've got to do this. We've got to do this. So it starts with that side of the Supreme Court. They're going to have to get active, but it's going to have to waterfall all the way down. It's a fight that needs to take place in numbers. And from the highest court, that's where it's got to start. Hopefully it will.
No, he is fucking around to see what find out happens. And, you know, the judges have 90% of the time so far handed Trump defeat after defeat after defeat. And that's been good. But a lot of this is lower court rulings. He's clearly just trying to kick things up the chain. He wants to get to the Supreme Court with all of these cases because he thinks he's got them in his back pocket. Because to some extent, he's right. He gave, you know, almost half of them their jobs and certainly gave them the conservative majority. So, yeah, what are these people going to do when it finally comes down to them and judges being arrested?
I don't know. I don't know how you come back from it. If it does tip the scale and goes all the way, I mean, it doesn't come back without some sort of war.
I would like to think the first judge this woman gets in front of is just going to throw it right out of court. That you can't. You can't just go into a judge's courtroom and arrest her. There has to be an entire process. If for some reason you think a judge has broken the law, I feel like that's usually how it works, right? Don't you have to get arrest warrants, go to a district attorney, someone that wants to press charges? Like,
it's somewhat laughable though, because all the rules have changed. You know, what once was is no more. When Trump first got into office, there was a judge in Seattle, and I can't remember his name. I'm not that good. But he was a Reagan-appointed judge. Very red, very Republican. And he voted the right way on something and made something with the deportation, the mass deportations. He ruled on it properly. And Trump tore him apart. And this was a judge that prior to that ruling was always adored by Trump. Oh, he's one of the good ones. You know, Reagan installed him. He's still there. And he's a hard-ass judge. But it all goes back to you're either with me or you're against me. And it's never been made more clear than with this administration. If you step out of the line of, I don't know that I agree with that. Oh, okay, boing. You're gone.
It's you're with me or you're against me / what have you done for me lately? Because some of these judges that have even recently ruled against Trump, he literally appointed them himself. So obviously he thought they were a competent judge, which implies he looked into them, which we know he didn't. He's working off the Heritage Foundation's list of conservative judges and whatnot. But even that is even more so. The Heritage Foundation recommended some of these people because they were ultra conservative. And even they are like, no. We still have a constitution. We still have due process, rule of law.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So I guess I don't want to say sit back and watch. But I think it's time to revolt. Let's get active and do what we need to do. And maybe we need to persuade some of these judges to do the right thing.
Do you have news you need to know? Like need to know news? How about news you need to know? Do you feel like you need to know that? What if we could guarantee only news you need to know? You know, the need to know news. I think we might be on to something you need to know. Perhaps it's news. Let's see if we need to know it.
Okay. I need the stuff I need, though. Not the junk.
It's just stuff you need to know, as far as I think from what he was saying. I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit and depress you even further. Because some of these judges, we've seen one get arrested. What will happen further down the line? It's not only the judges that Trump and his administration are going after. How about law firms? Yeah, we've heard that Trump is attacking different law firms. And as of late, let me tell you what's on deck here for this. President Donald Trump's slew of executive orders targeting high-profile law firms triggered a fight-or-flight response. 9 law firms took flight and struck deals with the president. Imagine that. Collectively promising $940 million in pro bono work for the administration, which... You know, pro bono law work is needed and admirable and good, but you don't need to do pro bono work for the president of the United States and their administration.
It's good for people that can't afford it and are being screwed over by the system, not the ones doing the screwing within the system. And I miss the episode of Suits where the whole law firm just bent over because somebody demanded something of them, let alone the White House.
Yes. I mean, everything you said is right on the money, Steve. Well, there are 4 law firms that did not bend over and open their butt cheeks to take a peanut. One of them, Perkins Coie. I know people who work there.
Perkins Cooey? Wow. Sounds like a sex move. I pulled the old Perkins Cooey on her.
You were the old Perkins Cooey? That's funny. Perkins Cooey, Jenner and Block, Wilmer Hale, and Sussman Godfrey all opted to fight the administration in court. They've argued the executive orders violate the Constitution. Imagine that. Targeting people and companies for their speech and violate their clients' right to counsel. So far, these four law firms who did decide to stick around and fight are winning unanimously. So here's the deal. These law firms are being taken on because, yeah, we want to have all the lawyers in our pockets, too. Then it doesn't even necessarily need to get to the judges. If we could have all the lawyers, you know, we don't even have to worry about the judges. And they're just kind of there as a backstop. These are law firms that are standing up and so far winning. And that is because they are getting into this fight early. And there are still people in the courtroom, aka judges, that will look at this and be like, yeah, based on the Constitution and our laws, this isn't right. You can't do this. So we're going to cut it off at the leg. So we applaud those four. That is so tiny, dude. Yep. That stood up and said, we're going to do the right thing. But we've seen it with all the big daddy Canes, from Mark Zuckerberg to, you know, it just all the big, you know, Jeff Bezos. Everyone kissed the ring this time around. It didn't happen last time around, but this time everyone's taking a knee for President Trump.
They're taking two knees, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, here's the thing. Thank you. I have some level of sympathy for the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses and whatnot, that some level, by the way, not entire level. But I mean, they own companies and they're trying to keep their employees employed and keep business. A law firm is nothing but lawyers. And it's not like they're going to have to pay huge legal bills to go defend this crap. That is what you do. So go do what you do. Otherwise, what? You're just a greedy lawyer that if there's no paycheck in it, you're not going to stand up for what is right or wrong. You're not going to defend your law firm. You're not going to stand up for what is right. You don't think that's going to be worth its weight in gold and publicity?
Well, they dedicated $940 million in pro bono work. Take that work pro bono and just do it yourself.
That is so disappointing. And yeah, I'm glad some have, and I guess that's what it takes, someone to stand up and take the hit for everyone else. So kudos to them. And, you know, kudos, by the way, to Harvard. Like, I guess I've made fun of Harvard a bit over the years, but at least they, unlike Columbia College and a few others, that when Trump threatened them, they did the same thing. They bent both knees and got down there with their mega knee pads and went mega cum laude, if you know what I mean. So Harvard right. stood up to it. And so far, I think they're going to win their legal battles. And on one level, I want to say, like, you're charging your students so much. Harvard's not going out of business. But the problem that I don't think a lot of people realize is that Harvard has, like, top-notch scientists, people that are either already been in the industry and they're back working at Harvard, or they're going to be in the industry, and they get federal grants to work on, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, like things that you may, if it goes away today, you may not see the, you know, the repercussions. But if someone is 6 months away from curing Alzheimer's and we take away a federal grant just to stick it to the hippie college, you have just fucked over humanity.
Completely. Listen, dude, you can think whatever you want to about Harvard, but in layman's terms to what you just said, Harvard is the best of the best. Whether they are talking about the students or the professors, they are the best of the best. It's true. It's why they're freaking Harvard. It's why it costs so much money. Maybe it's a crime, but to cost that much, but yeah, they're the best of the best. So yeah, cancel them out. See what happens, dude.
Yeah, no, exactly. So these are all scary things. And I think there is a knee-jerk reaction with everything Trump to sort of laugh it off or assume this isn't serious or it's not really going to go anywhere. But we are 3 months into this thing barely, and they are testing every safeguard there is. And they want to see what they can get away with so that for the next 3 3/4 years, they can run roughshod. So now is the time to stay angry, get vocal, comment, share. You know, we can do stuff online that helps with this general, you know, sentiment in the country. And hopefully then those in power, the Harvards, the law firms, they will take note and know that we got your back. Go fight this shit.
People are also talking, dude, and it's not me, but people are saying, Steve, free Luigi Mangione. You know, free him.
I've seen that. And his legal defense from GoFundMe is up to $1 million now. I mean, listen, I understand the sentiment of being angry with health insurance. I mean, I completely understand that sentiment, or even just corporate CEOs. But you cannot murder someone in the street, okay? You still, there's consequences for that. So if you want to be a martyr, part of being a martyr is you got to die. You got to take the bullet. So whether that means actual death penalty or just going to prison for life, if Luigi wants to be a martyr, then, you know, go right ahead. But this notion that because we're all pissed at CEOs, we should just let them off the hook. You don't think that would be the ultimate slippery slope?
I don't know, dude. I make very little comment on it.
I mean, come on. CEOs are getting executed left and right. And then why can't we make that rationale for congressmen and senators and, yeah, people in the Oval Office? It's like, we can't just have the purge happening around town 24/7.
He said with a chuckle. You know, well, listen,
that's what it would be. I mean, it's craziness.
I know it is crazy, but this is, I guess, you know, when you say like, what can we do? And then we give our list of things that we can do. Some of us feel helpless with that list. And that's why people like Luigi Mangione have stepped up and done things. He's not the only one. I mean, he's the only one that got caught, right? He's not the only one. But that's some people
Wait,
feel
what are you talking about. He stepped up and shot a guy in the head. Like, what? Is that what we're asking for?
No, I was just saying protest.
You know, grab a sign.
I understand, dude. But what I'm saying is I think the reason that it went that way is because protesting with the sign. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's like beating off. I'd rather get laid, you know.
Yeah, it is easier to jerk off, though. And it's easier just to grab a sign than actually go, there's a couple ways to shoot someone in the face, all right? You're talking about one way. Luigi did another way. So.
Well, we better get out of this, dude.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango.
Oh, hi, Clem. I can hear you just fine. How are you doing, sir? Doing good?
Doing fantastic.
Good. I like chatting with you. Here's the thing, Clem and everyone else. I would not encourage you to shoot people in the head. I would encourage you to pick up a protest sign and do something. But if you can't do any of that, just listen to this show. Follow our pages, all that. I think that's the minimal. We're fighting the good fight. We're the resistance. At least give us a freaking thumbs up, right?
Yes, please. For crying out loud, download the podcast, you bastard.
Right. It's costing you nothing, people. So step up. All right. Fun quote here. Awful, awful, awful. What on the long list of things could that be referring to?
Boy, I mean, that could cover so much right now. I have no idea, really.
Yeah, CNN data chief Harry Enten said on Sunday that President Donald Trump is already making history as he approaches his 100 days in office, which I think he just did now. It's just not the kind of history that anyone would want to make. He said, quote, these numbers are just horrible. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Awful, awful, awful. Trump's numbers are so low that he's behind every other president in recent decades, including his own worst numbers in 2017, which was a record back then. Because basically every president 100 days in is north of 50%. I mean, Obama was at like 60-something. Even George W. Bush was at 60-something 100 days in. So the only one to be performing worse than Trump is Trump. He beat his own worst record.
That is so damn funny, dude. You know, it's funny because my wife used to run a lot, and I was like, why do you like to run by yourself? She's like, because I'm competing with myself. I said, what do you mean? She's like, I'm going for a better time. I'm competing with myself. And I think that's what Trump is doing right now. And he won, I think. Yeah.
I mean, he won in reverse, I guess. He beat his terribleness. So, yeah, he's at 41% right now. And even on the economy, which was the big issue with Kamala that he won on, he's down to 39%. Enten said, my goodness gracious, he was elected to fix the economy. And now he's at just 39% approval.
You know what's funny about that, dude, is that I think it's so much easier to campaign on lies than when you get into office. And, you know, we still see him lying. Okay, here's campaign. We start with, I'll have eggs down on day one. It'll be so funny, it'll make your head spin, you know. Okay, so he made these claims. Now he's in office, and the egg prices haven't, I mean, they've kind of been all over the place, but they're not where they used to be. And he's telling people that they are. But now you could just walk into the grocery store, and when you have to buy them, they don't seem that way. So yeah, that approval rating in the first 100 days is falling. Yeah. It's not as easy to lie.
Saying is easy, doing is hard. So now he's just going back to, I'm just going to keep saying it because that was pretty easy. So I'm just going to tell these people, eggs are very affordable. I don't know what anyone's talking about. Gas price, everything is cheaper now. Everything's free.
I miss the good old days when it was so much easier to lie.
Right. Didn't he say something like egg prices were down 92%, which would make them free, essentially, I guess? Like, no, it's utter insanity. And, okay, I'm glad his poll numbers are reflecting it. But two things. One, he's sitting at 41%, 39% on the economy. Trump has this mega base of about 30 to 35%. And that shows you that even as terrible as he's doing, I'm not sure he'll drop too much lower than that because I don't think the cult is ready to shift gears quite yet. They still believe in all of this stuff.
Yes, you're completely right. And that is all they're holding on to. Just makes me feel better as a person to have something to believe in. Well, that's their something to believe in. So you're not going to take it away.
Yes. And I've heard a lot of people point out correctly that the Democrats did just about as bad and even in some categories worse than Trump in some of these recent surveys. But listen, first of all, we're not in charge of anything, so we can't be held responsible for any shenanigans going on right now, which is why Chuck Schumer was smart not to let the government shut down, because that would have been a built-in excuse to blame the Democrats. You know, like, all eyes are on him. But also, as to Democrats here, like, what am I supposed to be happy about right now? What am I supposed to be saying? Yeah, Democrats, we're doing a great job. Like, we got our asses kicked. We're out of power. We have next to nothing that we can do. So if anyone asks me, what's your opinion of the Democratic Party? Like, I'm pissed. I'm not happy. Like, why would I give them a good score? Doesn't mean I hold them to the same level of accountability as I do Trump, but there's nothing to be like thrilled about right now.
No, there is not. I'll tell you what, you're right. I mean, what are we going to say? Well, yeah, I'm not happy with where we're at, but you look into the Democrat Party right now and see people all over the place. There is no unity right now in our party because everyone has said, like, we got our asses somewhat handed to us in all this. This should have been an easy win. And, you know, now we're seeing people go off in all different directions. Chuck Schumer's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, we are not united right now.
Yeah. No, I keep hearing that. Like, who's your leader right now? Yeah, we don't have one. A hand grenade got thrown into our bunker and we got blown to hell. So you're right. No, we don't have a leader. And yeah, this is part of this cycle of politics. We lost a national election. Now we got to lick our wounds and rebuild. So that's what we're doing. And don't even think that within 3 months we got all that figured out. No. So no, we're not scoring well. And why would we?
Yeah, no. But let's focus on the fact that Trump is scoring so badly because he was voted in with such enthusiasm, and this is going to be a great change for America. The golden age of America is coming back, and we haven't seen that happen. You can say, oh, it's only been 100 days. Look at all the shit he's ruined in 100 days' time. It is possible to do things in 100 days, apparently.
Yeah, other presidents have achieved all sorts of positive milestones in 100 days. And yeah, on one level, I want to say it's a little humorous that, you know, whoever's in charge always gets to blame. So look how quickly it fell apart for you. But you sort of gave that a significant push over the cliff. You know, Biden really didn't deserve a lot of the grief he got just because he was in the office when things went south in a lot of ways. But Trump deserves it. So I'm glad he's getting it. But yeah, he's earned it.
100%, 100 days, 100%. He's earned it.
Yeah. So can't wait to see where we're at. 200 days. I'm sure it'll all be fixed.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
There's so many things to talk about, but I want to talk about this right now. Do you have someone in your life that loves drugs? Do you love drugs? Are drugs a big part of your life? Does someone you love have drugs in their life?
Okay.
I guess the short answer would be yes. But what are we talking about here? Narcotics, pharmaceuticals, marijuana is not a drug. It grows naturally. It's not chemically produced, which is what a drug is. So can you narrow that down a little for me?
I can, dude. I'm talking about narcotics. Narcotics, okay?
Yeah. Narcotics. I mean, honestly, no. I don't know anyone in my life who's actually on a narcotic, like cocaine or fentanyl or meth or Adderall or something. Adderall, somewhat prescription, but you know what I mean, abusing it. So, no.
You do. You just don't know it. Because there are so many people on narcotics in this country. Fentanyl.
Are you admitting to something right now?
No, I'm just saying, like, statistically speaking, we know people that are on narcotics and they just don't talk about it. And maybe they don't have a problem with it.
I know you and I know Kennedy. Like, so no, I feel pretty good in my answer. You're assuming I have dozens of friends where statistically one of them has to be doing coke. I really don't, but I appreciate
it. You know, okay? So here's my point. There's a lot of people in this country on narcotics. We obviously have a huge prescription drug problem. We all obviously have a huge problem with fentanyl being brought into our country. But RFK enters the room, and he is a former heroin addict. Did you know?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so through college, RFK took heroin just to get through his college, you know, and it apparently made it a lot better for him. So he's no stranger to addiction. But now he's heading up our Health and Human Services Department, and he is going to try and get rid of a very important program, a godsend, some would say, the Narcan program. It's helped reduce overdose deaths despite his past heroin addiction. He is going to vote against this to keep it rolling. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah. I mean, Narcan has become so common. Every cop, every paramedic has Narcan. Most communities, I mean, I know I'm a California kid or whatever, but you can get it for free, just no questions asked, so that high school kids can have it in their glove box or something. Because, yeah, Narcan has saved countless lives of people that are in the middle of overdosing. You give them that stuff and they live. So what the hell would you be against for?
I carry Narcan with me whenever I go out into public, and especially if I'm going to go into a big city when I travel to another country. I always have Narcan on me because I'm going to be out in the public a lot. And I did order it through the Narcan program, through our government. You can go to the website and you can sign up for it. And I don't know how often you can get it. Luckily, I haven't had to use it. But they send you two at a time, and they are basically, you know, they look like almost like the little Afrin things where you're going to pump this into somebody's nose if they're overdosing.
And then hold on. Two, yeah. Are you carrying it around because you're worried you're going to like contact fentanyl or something, or someone's going to give you a joint and it's in there? Or are you thinking you're going to stumble across somebody overdosing and you can save them?
The latter. I think in Seattle, you know, you'll see people a lot of the time that you don't know if they're overdosing or you know. So if I did come across someone, yeah, I want to have it on me because it that easy to save a life. I'm just going to squirt this up your nose and all of a sudden you're going to be okay. Like, yeah, I'm going to carry that. Yeah. So the program, it's a great program. Like I was saying, you could go on the website and they'll send you out two at a time that you can, you know, put one in your car, throw one in your backpack or whatever. But RFK is now saying that he is opposed to this federal Narcan distribution program. This has been widely used. A $56 million annual grant program. And in the grand scheme of things, $56 million is nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, are you sure you said he's saying this? He's really hard to understand. Maybe we've just misunderstood what he's saying.
I don't think so. He's got comments on it, you know, that I'll share with you. But Yeah, like you were saying, and a lot of first responders, cops, everyone carries Narcan. And a lot of people, I know, friends carry Narcan with them, and most of them got it through this. It's no skin off your back. It takes 5 minutes to go order it. But he is saying that solving this drug crisis is not going to win with the use of Narcan and reviving these people. This is going to take a lot more. So basically, he's saying if they are not going to get the help, let me just read his exact quote. Kennedy previously praised interventions like Narcan as a critical drug to saving lives. He now frames the crisis as one requiring deeper spiritual and societal change rather than relying solely on nuts and bolts medical solutions.
It's funny because he sounds like he's very nuts. And just what, pray away the addiction? Is that the answer? Jeez.
I mean, it makes no sense to me, dude. I mean, look, you can have both, right? If you want to do both, but you have to have Narcan or the people will just be dead. I mean, you are saving a life. Then you can go do all the things that you'd like to do with spiritual blah, blah, blah. Right.
But to get that rid is of one way to reduce the number of addicts we have, I guess. Just let them all die. Start fresh with whoever's left.
And I'm wondering, you're making a joke about it, and I'm not offended by the joke, but I'm wondering if that's exactly what he's pretty much saying is like, you know, let's have a reboot. Let's start over.
I mean, it sounds like the classic, let these poor dirtbag drug addicts, you know, fend for themselves. Like, what are we spending millions of dollars to save lives for? We're just the government. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to make your lives better.
And if you want to know if it's worked, the national overdose deaths have declined. This was at an epidemic for a long time that is still happening, and they say it's far from over. But since this Narcan program came out, hundreds of thousands of lives have been saved just through the public carrying them, not civil servants, not police officers and everything else. So, I mean, that's a big deal, dude, to spend that amount of money. And that, by the way, that amount of money also goes to supplying civil servants and nurses, whoever. But the public is saving that many lives. I mean, that's crazy that you would do away with that program. Even think about restructuring it if it's really $56 million annually is that big of a deal for you. I think Trump could play golf one last time and then pay for it for a freaking year, dude.
That's true. He's honing in on $50 million in his golf outing so far. So, no, it's a very fair point. And with a federal budget of trillions of dollars, I mean, millions is literally less than a percentage point. And yeah, it's real lives we're talking about. And it's obviously a misnomer to think that, oh, it's all the unemployed dirtbags. Some of those first responders go home and do these drugs. Doctors, lawyers, you know, everybody, every walk of life. And
yes,
I will tell you, we had a story in the town I live in a little over a year ago where a couple of professional types, I think one was a firefighter, one was a doctor. They had a Super Bowl party and four of them overdosed on fentanyl and died. And there was some pushback because I said the fire department called me. We should run PSAs about this. And I was like, maybe we should run PSAs about, you know, rehab programs and intervention programs. And, you know, we should be trying to help people on the front side, not the flip side. And they kind of gave me this tangent about how these weren't just addicts. One of them was a firefighter. One of them was a doctor. These were professionals, not just addicts. And I'm like, I mean, first of all, how warped of a perception is that? That somehow they are different or better because they're a firefighter or a doctor. Like, then don't tell me to make announcements on the radio. Hang something in your break room at the fire department. Tell your coworkers to not go out and do a bunch of fentanyl on a Saturday night or whatever.
That is such trash.
Absolutely. And news came out today. They finally, 14 months later, actually made an arrest of the guy that sold them the drugs. And learning what I learned today, I have a little bit more sympathy for these four people that overdosed. They were told they were buying cocaine off this guy. Not that makes it a lot better, but they were having a Super Bowl party. They all wanted to do some lines. This guy sold them pure fentanyl. So
it was pure fentanyl.
Yes. So they just did lines of fentanyl thinking it was cocaine. And you can get a little fentanyl in your system and overdose. I mean, they did lines of it. So they were screwed because this drug dealer told, yeah, it's cocaine, man. It's good. It's good. They went and did blow and thought it was blow and they freaking died.
Dude, I'm surprised. Unless, I mean, I've never been to a cocaine party per se, but like, unless you do those lines at the same time, that fentanyl kill that amount of fentanyl kills you so quickly that I can't imagine the three would have had the opportunity to go. They must have done it all at the same time. That is insane. Mm-hmm. That guy should go to prison for life because it's not like it was mixed. That guy knew he was killing those people.
Right. I think the assumption was they bought cocaine and it was laced with fentanyl and they were rookies. They couldn't handle it. But no, they apparently just bought fentanyl, was told it was cocaine. And yeah, I mean, that's like handing somebody a gun and saying it's full of blanks and then they blow their friggin' head off, like, because you essentially tricked them into it. Now, they shouldn't have been buying coke in the first blah, blah, blah. But listen, they thought they were doing a safe, quote unquote, amount of cocaine. Yeah. And yes, they all freaking just died. And I believe they all were doing it at the same time. I don't know if you snort fentanyl, if you would just instantaneously die. It has to take at least a minute or something, I would guess. But obviously, they did it close enough together that four of them died. And I did learn today there was a fifth there that did some that somehow survived. But yeah, I mean, these people were tricked into doing essentially pure fentanyl.
That's a great example of why everyone should take advantage of this Narcan program. Like, you should have Narcan in your glove box at the very least, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. If you are exposed to, you know, the amount of fentanyl it takes to kill the average person is like a grain of rice or less, or far less, I think. You know, it's more salt than rice. But yeah, you're right, Steve. All of those people that you see dying on the streets of overdoses were once something. They were once a cashier or a doctor or a son or, you know, whatever they were. They're freaking people, dude. And this program to be cut, I don't know, it's trashy. Shame on you, RFK.
I would concur. I had to have a little chat with my son recently. Another local news story. High school kids, I mean, they're vaping constantly. Principals are constantly confiscating vape pens. And I don't know why, but one of our local sheriff's offices went to one of the local high schools and they took some of these vape pens and they ran them through lab work to see what exactly was in them. And obviously a bunch of them were THC, you know, vape, marijuana. A lot of them were nicotine, but some of them had fentanyl in them. And that can only come from a backroom person making vape cartridges. And I don't know why they would add fentanyl. Maybe it gives some extra kick or something. But my point is, I told my son that, you know, if there's vape pens going around at a party or something and you see that it has a label on it, like you can tell it came from a pot shop or a, you know, a drug store, a, you know, liquor store that would sell a nicotine thing. Like, I'm not telling you to do it, but that is significantly better than something that you can tell is black market made in a back room, because that can have stuff added like that. Or they could have just added rubbing alcohol or something to fill it out. And now you got popcorn lung. Like, be very careful. A real company would never add something like that that could kill customers.
Well, yeah, I don't know that that's true. Vaping kills people.
Of course it is. If you're buying a Stizzy or you're buying one of the, you know, one of these major corporations, they don't want to overdose their customers. They have investors and they can go to jail. They know who you are. Your name's on the product.
No, you're right. I mean, it'll kill you eventually no matter. But yeah, you don't want to overdose. You should just buy it yourself. That's what I told my niece. Like, if you're going to don't share shit with people you don't know real well, you know, like as far as vapes or even pot, because you don't know if they've laced it with fentanyl. It's happening a lot. Buy stuff.
I'm starting to wonder, by the way, like forever people said that cell phones, we're all going to have brain tumors. And, you know, we're like 30 years into cell phones and I'm not seeing an epidemic of brain tumors everywhere. I'm starting to wonder when that is going to become a reality with vape. because I know it's a new thing. It's untested. No one knows the long-term side effects. We have heard some cases of the popcorn lung, but that's mainly been with backroom or shady companies adding stuff. Like, at what point are we either going to see an epidemic of popcorn lung cancers or be like, I guess it's working okay. It's been 20 years now. Who's getting it?
Oh, I think the popcorn lung comes from all of the vapes, not backroom shit. I mean, Rachel sees them in, they're suing for it like they do asbestos and everything else.
But it's so widespread. So many people are vaping. Where's the epidemic? Not isolated cases. Or I read about one company that was putting some crap in there and they gave popcorn lung to everyone who was using it. Like, I'm not seeing the widespread.
Yeah, that's interesting. How long will it take or will it happen? You're right. I mean, yeah, that's interesting to think about. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to just wait and see who kills over and can't breathe anymore.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is somewhat of a funny story, but it sets up a serious one. President Donald Trump continues to remain vague on the rumors that he's going to try to seek a third term. He's been asked about this multiple times, and he started off with, you know, a lot of people say they want it, but, you know, I'm not thinking about it. And then it transitioned to him literally telling NBC News that, no, I'm not joking. Like, we're actually putting thought into how we can pull this off. Sure. And then this week we saw, or late last week, we saw that Trump is selling Trump 2028 hats through his official MAGA store, which seems like that would be a joke, but he said it's not a joke and they're trying to find ways. And so someone asked him again about it today, and he said, you know, that would be a big shattering, wouldn't it? Well, maybe I'm just going to try shattering things. It's not something that I'm looking to do, and I think it would be very hard to do, so I'm not thinking about it. Yet he talks about it constantly and is selling effing hats for it. So it sort of seems like he is putting some thought into it.
Do you remember the website for the Obama official merchandise?
No, I don't remember.
Of course you don't, dude, because presidents don't do that. That is crazy that he has that. Of course he's thinking about it.
That is such a great point, because as you know, I did a whole freaking news story last week for another website about the Trump 2028 hats. And after I published the thing, I thought, I didn't even bring up the fact that who cares what the hat is. The president is selling hats. He's selling merchandise from the Oval Office. He is making money. I was so fixated on the audacity to imply that you can run for a third term that, yeah, I forgot to mention he's selling swag out of the Oval Office.
You see all the influencers online, like, check out my merch, some new merch dropping. Like, that's our president. He has merch.
Yeah. I mean, talk about norms that have just been blown out the window. That's how far we've come. I just accept that, of course, he's selling shit out of the Oval Office. Now I'm just fixated on how, you know, deplorable and insane some of the things are. But so, yeah, let's just accept that he's selling swag. He is selling Trump 2028 hats, and they keep saying, and even Carolyn Leavitt, when she was just asked, she said, quote, it's not something that Trump is thinking of, although I hear the hats are flying off the shelves.
Jeez, man. This is very much like Project 2025 that he hasn't heard of or is not thinking about, right?
Yes, and I know the MAGA, he's joking, he's trolling. He literally just said he is not joking. So is this a guy that we just cannot take anything he says seriously? Or when he literally tells you, I am not joking, will you then take it seriously?
No, we won't. Mm-hmm. I guess that's his game, is that, you know, he lies so much. If you figure out what I'm lying about, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know. I think if you see, like, I just brought up Project 2025, and of course Trump said, like, you know, I don't know anything about it, almost said it like Project 2020, like he couldn't even say it, you know, like it was this foreign object. But you have the architects, you have Stephen Miller and plenty others working in the background talking about it, that it's happening, it's structured, and this is, you know, he knows all about it. Steve Bannon in the same likes is talking about how they are going to get Trump a third term. It's being worked on behind the scenes, whether you want to believe Trump knows about it or not. believe him. He said, I'm not lying. I think that's hard to believe, but because he's always lying. But Steve Bannon's working on it. There are people working on it in the backgrounds. He's got the hats. So, yeah, I'm going to believe him that he's going to try it.
Yeah. I mean, this is assuming he is alive in 3.5 years, which I'd be shocked and amazed if that actually happened. But and that, would he see that much of a glutton for punishment? He'd want to run again? I mean, I don't know. But they're definitely talking about it. But I would really, more out of a morbid curiosity, love to know, how do they think they're going to get around the Constitution on this one? Because in the Bannon thing you're talking about, he said, like, well, amending the Constitution's one method, but we're not actually thinking that's going to happen. We got 4 or 5 other things we're working on, and at least 4 of them I think are pretty solid. I think we can pull them off. Like, what in the hell are you talking about? This whole let J.D. Vance run and then hand the reins to Trump? No, Constitution prohibits that too. You cannot be the vice president because you're not eligible to be president. So what crazy shit are they cooking up in the back room?
If you remember when we had a little thing called the Jan 6 insurrection, John Eastman was one of the high profile lawyers that was writing all of this up to be able to turn this over. So they have brilliant minds. I think John Eastman's obviously a piece of shit, but he was a brilliant guy. I mean, he's a scholar. And at one time, a gentleman, you know. So listen, people are sitting in back rooms thinking, plotting, doing all this shit while we're sitting here living our day-to-day lives. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see how they're going to pull it off. But I'd rather not know and never have it brought up again.
Right. I guess I'd rather read about it in some memoir 20 years from now that this was the crazy thing they were talking about back then, other than waking up and seeing it on the breaking news alert on my phone. So, yeah, you're probably right. But it just falls under the umbrella we talked about earlier, that they are trying to screw with every guardrail there is, including just telling the Constitution to go screw itself. So fucking around. Can't wait to find out.
Yeah, dude, I thought about this. We'll copyright it on the show. I'm going to write a new song called Fafo. How come people aren't screaming Fafo and writing songs about Fafo? I think we should do it.
I do hashtag almost all of our posts with F-A-F-O. Like, that is trending. But it has not become a commonly used phrase in pop culture. So, yeah. A little hit song might help with that.
Yeah, a little Fafo.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Well, dude, the Pope had his funeral on Sunday, and while that was huge news, and there were many attendees.
It's too huge a news. Can we stop already?
With
God,
what?
It's on the news every day. He died. Yes, I don't know any celebrity that gets 2 weeks worth of coverage out of their death.
He's not a celebrity, dude.
What is he?
I mean, he's a peacekeeper.
He's a public figure, you know.
Or a leader. He's bigger than that. I know that you don't believe, but as far as the Catholics go, I mean, he probably was the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah, I get that he's prominent, but if Soundgarden had to hold a conclave to vote for a new singer, would Chris Cornell have gotten 2 weeks worth of coverage out of it? It's just because they stretched this whole thing out that, you know, it's public viewing and then the presidents or leaders, then there's a conclave, we got to vote for a new fake head of the church. It's like they are milking it.
No, it's a huge thing. You're just not interested in it. But there were a lot of people, obviously, that went to the Pope's funeral. I just want to mention this because I thought it was funny. You're at a funeral. You're at the Pope's funeral. Did I mention I've seen the Pope, dude? I went to see the Pope. So it is always grandiose. So I can only imagine what it was like then with all these people and, you know, kind of a somber event. But
well, you got to see him live. That's awesome. These people seem dead. That seems like kind of a ripoff.
Yeah, dang it. Right. So, but people came in, so world leaders were obviously there. But as the world leaders walked in, the appropriate funeral behavior is, you're going to be quiet and respectful, you're mourning. And
I would know to do that.
Right. So, yeah. But I will say that President Trump walked in to this funeral and received zero applause. I think he was hoping that he would get some, because after he walked in, Zelensky walked in, and the crowd did holler, whistle, and erupt with clapping and yelling.
That's great. That
had to be such a blow to his ego. Like, hey, what about me?
Right. You know? And I assume Trump was smoldering walking into that church, and that still didn't get any attention, huh? Just flames starting to emanate.
Right. You know, they sat down, Zelensky and Trump sat down, which I thought was a weird time to do it. Did you?
Yes.
At
time
this
and place, people.
Right.
You couldn't just wait and meet before, or do it after or something. They just do a quick aside.
Applebee's after. We're all going to Applebee's. Right. Let's meet over there. Yeah, I don't know why they sat down, but have you heard, this is an honest question, have you heard anything other than they had good talks? Well, supposedly Zelensky and Trump both said, you know, we had good talks about this. And this was their first meeting since they sparred in the White House and America looked crazy. Have you heard anything other than that?
No, I haven't. I'm glad it was a good talk, though. That's nice.
What does it mean?
It means that's how low the bar is. They were like, hey, Trump didn't scream at him and insult him and throw him out of a church at a funeral. Like, it was a good talk. They sat there and managed to have idle chit-chat for a few minutes.
Okay, I was hoping it would mean more than that. Something also happened at this funeral with Trump making an appearance in a blue suit. And apparently there's a new suit gate going on. If you'll remember Obama's suit gate with the tan suit. I'm not going to be outraged about this, even for Trump wearing a blue suit, because I think it's such a silly thing to get mad at somebody about. But I do want to highlight it.
But even I know you wear a black suit to a funeral. I've seen movies.
Yeah. Come on. Everyone there was in black suits. Right. Why did he walk in with a blue suit? Is he a buffoon or is he making a statement?
He does not give a crap. I'm sure he thinks he looks better in blue, and that's why he went that way. He doesn't care about decorum or anyone else. I mean, he wants to be the center of attention. He wanted those applause that Zelensky got. So, yeah, he dresses how he's, you know, comfortable, which on a very small level I can relate to. But even I know the time and place, you know. So if you're going to a funeral of a world leader and you're one, you got to dress the part. It's like a woman should not show up wearing white at someone's wedding. It's just you don't do it.
Right, and you don't wear certain colors after May. Come on. There's rules to things, okay?
And black suits will still cover up your Depend stains, so I don't see what the big deal was.
You would think it would do it better, dude.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you should have worn a black suit. But, yeah, so those are my comments. Those are my comments on his meeting. And I also wonder if you can give me a quick thought on whether or not Trump is Putin's biatch.
My quick comment would be yes. My long comment would be yes.
Dude, it is so fun. Like I said, we talked a couple of weeks ago about this. Like, I kind of want to see, I told you, I kind of want to see, like, this is a nail biter, what's going to happen with the war in Ukraine. And I don't mean to say it so callously, but it is fun to see Trump be taken down and understand that, oh, I have been being played? That's crazy. I didn't know that. He has been played this whole time, and obviously we've seen that, but it's funny to see him realize it.
Yeah. Played like a Russian fiddle. He is lost the upper hand because he did this whole 24 hours, I'll have this shit done, you know. Like, so Putin knows he's got the upper hand. And this whole idea that Putin's looking for a compromise, like, Putin could stop the war anytime he wanted to. It's his war. He's the only one doing it, initiating it. Like, it's a one-sided thing. The mugger could stop the mugging in any moment, too. So, but I have a newfound worry that I sort of came to my realization today as I was writing a new story on this topic, that my fear is that Trump is going to be pushed so far into the corner that he's going to realize he's been made a fool out of by Putin, that his only recourse is going to be to play army with Putin. Like, he can't be seen as weak on the world stage, so he's going to start an actual war with Putin. And Putin can't be seen as weak, and both those idiots have nuclear weapons. Like, Trump either has to back away from this, like Marco Rubio said a week ago, if we can't get this done, we're just going to walk away, which that would be the best case now. Just walk away and let Ukraine get ravaged. Because if Trump keeps getting pushed and made fun of, I'm afraid he's going to start an actual war with another superpower.
What, you think that he's going to invade Russia?
Yeah. Nuke one of their oil refineries, or maybe not nuke right away, but I think he's going to realize he looks like a big pussy. And so what does a tough man do when they're backed into a corner? They come out swinging, and Trump's got his army toys that he can play with. I mean, this is dangerous to really taunt Trump too much when it comes to him versus Russia. That's scary, because now we got two idiots with nuclear weapons, and neither of them wants to look like they're being, you know, manipulated by the other.
I guess, and you know what, for people on the right side of history, I guess this was always our concern. You know, we said, this guy, we've become so far away from saying, I remember in the beginning of this, like, you really want that idiot to have the nuclear codes? Yeah. We don't even talk about that shit anymore because he does so much other stupid shit all the time. But yes, we did think about this all the time. Like, he doesn't have those relationships that he think he does with Russia. It's all hyperbole and it's all talk. You're right. I mean, that is something kind of scary to think about. That, yeah, yeah, he's going to get pushed in that corner, and he doesn't like to look weak.
Mm-hmm.
Little does he know. Well, I think he's weak all the time. We all think you look weak, sir.
Right. Listen, he said he's not going to rule out military action against Greenland. So, obviously, he's not going to rule out anyone else, including Russia. So, I don't know how this little story is going to end. Right now, we're in the giggle at Trump phase. I'm just worried this might go a little too far, and then no one's going to be laughing, or we'll all have permanent smiles from nuclear fallout. You know?
I was having a conversation, dude, with my brother about this whole war in Ukraine, because we disagree on it. He has different thoughts than I do. We have conversations about it. But I made a comment that, like, Russia is our neighbor. He was like, Russia's not our neighbor. Russia, you know, Europe has, you know, much more to worry about than, you know, we do when it comes to Russia. I said, listen, I can swim to Russia. I can swim there.
You can walk there most of the year because it's frozen in the Bering Straits there. Yeah, Alaska butts up to Russia. Just no one looked at a map.
He emailed me the next morning. He was like, you know, I looked into stuff like I always do after our conversations. And he was like, yeah, we are a little closer to Russia. I didn't know.
I looked into stuff. It's called a map. I looked into it. And yeah, you're right. They are awfully close. So many people don't realize the old map we had in school where, like, you know, Europe and Asia's on one side and America. That thing connects around people.
So. Yes, yeah. You look at a globe. You can see it on a globe, right. Okay?
Yes. So, yeah, fun stuff. Remember, Sarah Palin can see Russia from her house, so it's close.
It's close. Yeah. So can Joe Sixpack. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it, dude.
It is. It's going to do it for humanity and civilization.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Oh, the show's over, too.
Yeah. Find our website. Well, there's still the World Wide Web. It's called thevocalminority.net.
Yes. And go check us out on Reddit. Check us out on TikTok. And check us out on Blue Sky and YouTube. That's what we care about.
Call our common line, 844-48-VOCAL. And do your best to stay vocal, get vocal. And join us here. We are the resistance. We're trying to save the world, people.
Get with it already, for crying out loud. We'll see you next time.
What up, everybody? It's Whoopi. I tried to get these white boys to come on The View and they said no. I guess I'll just enjoy them here like everyone else does. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. The guys release two podcasts every week. Peace in the Middle East.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.